Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia. He's done it. There's the reply. Barry of the Haas. History made.
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belter.
Barry for the hat-trick.
Pass lifts it and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. Proud to be a part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 175. We are back after our winter hiatus, and unlike the team, we are refreshed and raring to go again. It's been a torrid time post-World Cup, and we can only apologise for the mood of this show, because it's, as I was just saying to Kevin before we went on, it's probably going to be the saddest one we're ever going to have to go through. We've lost a host of games, and we've got a lot of them to go through. But, I mean, we did start with a win, a scrappy, narrow win against Lincoln in the Carabao Cup. Then the shocking performance on Boxing Day, which saw us hit rock bottom of the Premier League after that dismal 3-1 loss at home to Brighton. Then we went on to Craven Cottage on New Year's Eve. Performance was better. However, the result remained the same. An agonising loss after what seemed to be a certain point. Things continued to get worse. The big 6-pointer against Nottingham Forest on Wednesday night, and we once again picked up a defeat to make it 6 in a row. But then a third round FA Cup visit to Crystal Palace and a win, finally. Progression in the cup, but overall, not a very Merry Christmas at all, and we have Man City next. So we'll go through the games and we'll preview next week's Carabao Cup quarterfinal against Manchester City, and then we'll prepare for our crucial trip to Goodison Park. We also have Player and Goal of the Month for December to award. That should be very interesting. With me, as always, is my partner in crime, the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kevin, it's Sunday, the 8th of January. It's 2023. So I guess I can still wish you a happy new year, right?
I suppose so. It's never too late.
Well, happy new year, Mush.
Ah, thanks. A happy new year to you as well, Ian.
And to all our listeners who are who are going to be pleased that we're back, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know what they're expecting, but yeah, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in this time.
And again, we can apologise. But how's the mood with Kevin? Not the football, but just, you know, how was your Christmas and New Year back in Blighty?
It's right, busy, quite busy, yeah.
You're always busy.
I know, but, you know, normally I take a little bit more time off at Christmas. But, yeah, I was still working the week before Christmas because it was on a Sunday this year, wasn't it?
Mm.
So, yeah, the week after was a bit lazy. And this week's been very lazy because, yeah, I got the whole week off. Every day has been a bank holiday this year so far.
Oh, wow. Well, when you were here, you happened to watch two games as well, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I did say that. Yeah, I wanted to go to that Carabao Cup match just because it's probably the only chance I've got of seeing Saints win this season, and just about turned out to be true.
Yes, but well, before we start on this downward spiral, I just want to start by sharing some great news. Actually, our friend Alex Haas and his wife Caitlin have had their second child in the week, a beautiful baby girl, Edith Olive Gallagher Haas. So congratulations to them both, and I hope everything is well.
Yeah, congratulations. It's great to have another new saint in the world. Share the grief.
I also want to say good luck to my niece, Kira, who's just, she's just left to go to and live in Korea. She's actually doing what you're doing, Kev. She's teaching over in Seoul. So
oh, wow.
Best of luck to her. She's only been over there a couple of days, and she's still struggling with the jet lag. But yeah. Best of luck to her in her endeavours over there. Right, okay, Kevin, we need to get into some news. So we'll hit that first, yes?
Yes, I think there's a lot of news. This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, so I think, Kevin, we're going to start with the... Well, I mean, with January, what happens in January, mate?
I think it might be time to fire up the transfer roundabout.
Let's jump on the roundabout then. Mm-hmm. So then, Kevin, early business in the transfer window, which is nice. The brightest bit of news we've had in a while, actually, it's Mislav Orsic. Brilliant signer, Croatian winger, 30 years old, £8 million from Dinamo Zagreb. He brings some much-needed experience. He's got pedigree on the European stage and international. 216 appearances for Dinamo Zagreb and has 91 goals. Their leading European goalscorer of all time. He scored against Chelsea, scored a hat-trick against Spurs in the Europa League, scored in the World Cup as well. I think he got the winning goal in that third-place playoff against Morocco. Great addition to the squad, and it's hard not to get excited about this business, really. But we need more. We want more. But yeah, Kevin, what's your thoughts on this signing?
I disagree. It's hard not to get excited. I'm not excited.
Really?
Just by default. yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to see him live up to all the promise, but I just get the feeling you could sign anybody and this team would still underperform.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like what I meant when I said that we need more. We want it because he's not going to turn this team around, but it's a start is what I'm saying, and I'm positive about this, and I just want to see him settle in.
Yeah, definitely. It's an improvement, certainly, but it does leave us still lacking the goal scoring striker that we've needed for the last few seasons.
Yeah, and there's talk of another centre-back as well, but we're not really sure we need one, but, you know, we'd rather concentrate on that number nine. But there's talk about Jan Bednarek being recalled. There's also talk of Nathan Teller coming back.
Jack Stevens.
Yeah, there's been
Jack
talks
Stevens.
Of a sensational return for Danny Ings. Now, I know this news has passed now, and it won't be happening. I have heard that he was offered the opportunity to come back, and he said no. But you never know, it could come back on again. But actually, before we go any further, let's discuss this, shall we? Because I mean, I haven't actually discussed this with you. Villa apparently open to offers for him because he slipped behind Ollie Watkins in the pecking order. You know, he's been on the bench the last few games. I think he was on the bench against Wolves. But then he come on and got the equaliser. He was on the bench at Spurs behind Leon Bailey. On the bench before that against Liverpool. But he played against Brighton just before Christmas and he scored that brace. So every time he plays, or every time he comes on, he seems to be doing a job. But Emery doesn't favour him. Now, he's got 7 goals from 19 appearances for Villa, and that's the leading scorer. But I don't get it, really. I mean, what do you make of this news? And would you take him back if it came back again?
He's a Judas, and I would take him back in a heartbeat. Let's be honest now, mate.
Yes. Well, I mean, I wouldn't welcome him back with open arms, put it that way. But I would love a proven goal scorer back at the squad. And because he linked up so well with Shea, I just think it would be brilliant for the club. So, yeah, of course I'd take him back. But, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, no open
arms. If he scores and celebrates and we don't lose, everything will be forgotten, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean,
that's how desperate we are.
He's seen the light, hasn't he? He's decided no, which is fine. I'm a bit hurt by it, to be honest, because maybe he feels there's no way back for him now. I don't know, but... you know, that chapter's been and gone, and I think he feels like he has to move forward, even though he's only got one more contract left in him, you would feel, in certainly in Premier League terms anyway. But what about the potential of recalls of Bednarik, Stevens and Teller then? Where do you stand on that?
I think they all solve different problems that don't exist. Yeah, OK, we do need a better defence, but yeah, Jack fucking Stevens and Jan Bednarik, they're not the solution.
No, they're not going to make us better, are they, overnight? It's not going to happen.
No, I mean, yeah, Salisu and Bela Kotchap and... Lianko, you know. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about all of them, aren't we? when we go over the matches.
Varying degrees of success, yeah.
But, yeah, ostensibly, they're much stronger defenders than those two. But, yeah, bringing them back in, I suppose the only argument is that they haven't been training under Nathan Jones. And
I don't think any of them have been.
Well, Stevens and Bednarik haven't been anywhere near him. So, yeah, maybe that's a positive they could bring to the team before they go exactly the same way as all of Brighton centre-backs.
Yeah, indeed. But rumours, transfer rumours then, of coming in. Never mind the players that we've sent out on loan for the season. I'm hearing some good stuff, actually. I'm hearing that there's going to be more business and they expect to sign, you know, a couple more players at least before we hit the Premier League again. So that's good news. Are you hearing any rumours? I want you to go through these rumours for me if you're if there's anyone that stands out for you.
Got a few that have been doing the rounds that are quite well known. 23-year-old Nigerian striker Terem Murphy from Lorient.
Yeah, he's doing well in Liga, isn't he? He's like the third highest scorer in the league behind Neymar and Mbappe, I think. So, yeah, he's banging in the goals.
So that would be reasonably exciting. Yeah, we've got the 21-year-old Senegalese striker Nicolas Jackson from Villarreal. 23 appearances over 2 seasons. Guess how many goals he scored?
2.
Yeah, have you looked?
No, I'm just guessing.
It's 2.
Oh, that lethal goal scorer that we need, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound exciting, does it?
Not especially, but, you know, he's got more goals than Sekou Mara anyway, so.
That's true. Although, I don't know if we're including the goals he scored before he came to the Saints. But, yeah, Carlos Alcaraz.
Yes, yeah, 11 million euros from Racing Club in Argentina, midfielder. Apparently that's been rejected, and I think they're holding out for a 15 million euros. So.
Okay, yeah, not the tennis player.
No, not the tennis player.
In 43 appearances for Racing, how many goals do you think he scored?
None.
4.
That's okay.
Still not great, is it?
Yeah, but he's a 19-year-old midfielder. His job isn't to score goals. He's, you know... I'm hoping he's gonna be that playmaking midfielder that we need, and he needs to, you know, find those people for us, and instead of passing it side to side and backwards, he might be able to set the offense on fire. Who knows?
Yeah, I really don't understand all of these midfielders that we've been linked with, especially now that Orsic has come in. I don't think we need midfielders. We've got fucking loads of them.
Yeah, but they're no good.
Not all of them. Come on. We've got Stu.
Yeah, who's not playing at the moment, but yeah.
Prowsey, Lavia.
Yeah, who hasn't been playing great, and Lavia hasn't been playing injured. Also. You know, I meant Ward-Prowse hasn't been playing great, has he? He's starting to pick it up right now with some goals. I mean, he can't even score a penalty these days.
I'm sure we'll get onto that. Okay, a few more that are quite well known. Chuba Akpom, 27-year-old Nigerian striker from Borough, who's one of the league goal scorers in the championship. Yeah, he scored 18 goals for Borough.
So again, we're preparing for the championship, aren't we? We know how that
We've
works.
Got,
Whenever you
know,
get a championship striker, they just seem to flop at Premier League level.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it?
It's like Gyokeres as well at Coventry. He's scoring the goals for them, and not a lot of people want him, thinking that he's not going to be able to do it in the Premier League. But yeah,
that's the thing. I was going to mention him. But yeah, we've got so many top scorers from the championship in previous seasons. You know, Adams, Armstrong, and then like... just haven't been able to prove it at the top level, so yeah, that would be a no from me. As well as Djokovic, I was going to mention Beto from Udinese.
Okay.
24-year-old Portuguese striker.
It's Michael Keane as well.
Yeah.
Centre back on loan from Everton. I don't know. another defender.
Experience in.
It would. Yeah.
Would you like to play the traditional game?
Oh, I'd love it.
Transfer rumor or transfer fake?
Yep, let's do it. How many have I got?
You got five.
And how many of them
okay.
are true?
Four of them are real rumours, and one I've just made up and pulled out of my ass.
So what's the objective? To find out the one that you've made up?
You've got to sniff out the one that I made up.
Oh, okay. I think I'll be able to do that.
All right. Okay, so 22-year-old Ghanaian striker Antoine Semenyo from Bristol City.
Well, I know that's real.
24-year-old Swedish striker Jesper Karlsson from AZ Alkmaar. 20-year-old Moroccan striker Hassan Benoun from Standard Liège. 26-year-old English midfielder Ryan Kent from Rangers. And 21-year-old Israeli striker Lille Abada from Celtic.
I think the Lille Abada and the Antoine Semenyo is correct. I think they're real. Ryan Kent... I'm guessing that all these players are real, but you just made up a rumour.
One of the players is not real.
Okay, I'm going to say that you've made up Carlson, the Swede, because that would just be easy, right? Just thinking of a Swede called Carlson. So I'm going to say that's made up. That's bullshit.
No, that is a real rumour.
Then my second guess would be Hassan Benoun.
Hassan Benoun, yeah, I just made him up.
Not player news as such, but we have made an approach for Man City's academy director, Jason Wilcox. I remember Jason Wilcox as a player for Blackburn. I think he won the league with them back in 95. But Wilcox to become our new director of football. I can't imagine it's a move that he'll truly consider, considering that he's in charge of the academy at Man City. Is it a promotion from an academy director to a director of football? It's got to be a promotion. But, I mean, if Saints are getting relegated, you can't really consider it a promotion, right? I mean, I don't know.
And this is after, I don't think we've announced it in the news, Matt Crocker leaving at the end of the
season. Of course,
season.
yes, again, yeah, well done for remembering, I forgot about that. I've seen some rumours this morning, Kevin, and I know it's going to happen everywhere, and whether it's true or not, but resurfacing again, Sean Dyche could be coming in to replace Nathan Jones. If you think we're playing hoofball now, you ain't seen nothing yet, because if he comes in, I can make a guarantee that Salisu and Bella Kotchap will have the most touches in the league, will be 0-0 every single week. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be enough to survive. I guess it's okay if you've got that big target, man, but we don't have that. So.
Yeah, that's right. I I'd love Dyche at this point.
Would you?
Yes. Yeah. I think, you know, Dyche, but you can't... it might not be popular in certain sectors of the fan base, but at this point,
jumping off of that,
a particular style of football, and yeah, he can if he can tempt in a big target, man. You know, we'll just shithouse 1-0s every other game, and that'll be enough to keep us up. I'd love it.
Oh, God, I can see Andy Carroll coming or something like that. Oh no, I mean, it's all very well you saying that, but I mean. Would you have been okay with Sean Dyche coming in after Hasenhüttl and before Nathan Jones?
Before Nathan Jones. So what? Dyche gets relegated, then we get Jones in the championship.
Just hypothetically, would you have been okay with the Sean Dyche appointment before Nathan Jones?
Not instead of Nathan Jones. I mean, only later on in the season. At the point that it happened, it wouldn't have made any sense. But if we've got, you know, sort of 15 games to go, and Sean Dyche is he could be the new Sam Allardyce, you know, the firefighter manager.
Okay.
Why not? Okay. We've got nothing to lose.
Excellent. Okay. Well, on that note, I guess you haven't got any more rumours now.
No.
Okay. Let's move on then, because I want to discuss Nathan Jones with you. And yeah, he's not setting the league alight, and he's not filling the fan base with joy. No. Well, that's putting it lightly. Fans calling for his head already. At this level, he's not good enough, or is it that he hasn't been good enough? Which one would you say?
Both.
Okay, he's not good enough and he hasn't been good enough. That's fair enough, I suppose.
And he probably won't be good enough either. Yeah.
No. Okay. Out of his depth, I guess. And his team selection is nothing radical, though. It's no different from Ralph, but tactically, we're just far off. I mean, he's tinkered with the back three, which we know hasn't worked under Ralph. And it's almost like he's trying desperately to prove that it can work for us. And he's just being stubborn in that approach. But we don't seem to have an identity under him. I don't know what sort of play that he wants us to do. I mean, the players look fed up. These youngsters are going to start losing confidence fast if they haven't already. And I want to jump forward a bit to that Forest game on Wednesday night, because, you know, Adozie comes off the bench and he's trying to make things happen. That's the sort of player that he is. You know, he wants to get fans off their seats, and he wants to have a go at people, which is fine. But I mean, as soon as he's touched the ball, he's got three Forest players on him in an instant. It's like they know what he's going to do. Tactics. I've actually done their homework for us. Fair enough, right? No one's helping Adozie out. No, there's no movement. So inevitably he loses the ball and then his head drops. And he starts to blame himself, and you can see the confidence just oozing out of him. And it can't be healthy for them, for any of them.
No, I mean, and he does come on, you know, when we're 1-0 down and they're just trying to, you know, grind the match out.
But at that point, we shouldn't be grinding a match out. We should be going for a goal, surely. But we just don't seem to be having it. I mean, we heard fans at Selhurst Park screaming that his football is shit. I thought it was the Palace fans at first, but then I realised it was us. And it has become so bad to watch. You know, it's just void of any positive play. It becomes, you know, sideways, backwards, and launching the ball up long. It's not the Southampton way. Fans don't deserve to see this. You know, what's his style? What's he trying to achieve here, Kevin?
I really don't know. And he's tried out so many formations. I mean, the Palace one, probably the first game under Jones, that the team sheet comes out and you're like, OK, that looks like a formation that I recognise. I understand, you know, what each of the players is supposed to be doing. In the previous ones, it's just been so weird, you know, with this, three at the back, five at the back, four at the back. I mean, this is, you know, in the space of the same match as well.
But I mean, this was the work that he was supposed to be doing during the World Cup.
Yeah,
it's like he's just got the appointment. He's gone and lost 3-1 at Anfield and thought, okay, put that to bed. Now the real work starts, and he's just put it away. And then he's come back to it and said, right, if I try this and I try this, and he's tried out all these things against teams that we should be beating, not realising that we're going to be bottom of the league and that we haven't got time to lose to these teams. It's, yeah, if he wants to win over the fans, this is definitely not the right way to do it.
For me, I mean, I'm still stuck on the Ralph Express that's sort of ground to a halt at a siding somewhere, and all the lights have been turned off and the doors are locked and I can't get out. And you know, Jones comes in. I wasn't massively impressed with the choice of him as a manager, but I thought, you know, reserve judgment. Okay, wait for him to impress me. He hasn't, and I feel that I don't really think that it was Ralph was necessarily the problem. I think he's been sort of set up to fail with the signings that we made. We didn't get that goal scorer. I think if we had got Gakpo and, you know, an odd goal here and there, and we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. Ralph would still be manager.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate because he has inherited this squad from Ralph, don't forget. Those are Ralph's signings that he did make, you know, and you could say that Jones needs a window, but we need to see what Sport Republic are willing to do for him. But should we give him a window? I mean, let him bring in some of his players that he wants, because this let it be his squad for a little bit. I mean, Orsic is already in. Excuse me. But is it too late for that already? Can we give him time?
Do you think Orsic is a Jones signing?
Possibly not.
I think they would have been eyeing him up for a long time before.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reason I say that is because there was a lot of Premier League clubs. I think West Ham and Everton were interested in him. I think Wolves had a last-minute look at him as well. So the fact that he jumped on the Saints one right when they were bottom of the league, it is a bit iffy. So it might have been agreed ages ago, sure. But we're never going to know that, are we? And, I mean, can we really afford to give him time under, you know, the position that we're in? But, you know, it is only January. So let's not forget there is time. But at the same time, if we can't beat Nottingham Forest at home, who can we beat?
Yeah, precisely on the course that we're on. We're on the, we're sliding down a snake to the Championship.
I think a lot of fans are saying that, you know, Ralph's downfall was the fact that he signed these players that were young and didn't have the experience. And Jones has come in and already we've got a 30-year-old, whether it was his idea or not, it doesn't matter. But it's kind of like live by the sword, die by the sword for Ralph. So in that respect, I do. Yeah, I was so sad to see Ralph go because I love Ralph. I still do. But I do think that we needed a new approach and we needed a new manager in. I just don't think that Jones is the right man for the job. And already it's it's looking bad.
I'm looking at it. Would we have been better under Ralph for these 4 or 5 games?
It wasn't getting any better, Kevin. It was getting worse and worse under Ralph, and he was losing. I mean, fans wanted him out. And
now it's worse than the bad it was getting under Ralph.
Possibly. But, I mean, you have a look at his record, you know, in the 6 games that he's taken charge. So you lost 3-1 to Liverpool at Anfield. Okay, we scored. You beat Lincoln in the Cup, you lose 3-1 to Brighton, you lose 2-1 to Fulham, you lose 1-0 to Forest, and then you go and beat Palace in the FA Cup. So that's 6 games, that's 2 wins and 4 losses, and 2 wins obviously in the Cup. 4 Premier League games, 4 losses, and a narrow win against Lincoln in the Cup, but as I say, progression in both. And I want to have a look at looking at Ralph's first 6. Ralph won 2, lost 3 and drew 1, so 7 points for Ralph. And even if you look at Mark Hughes' first 6, 1-1, lost 3 and drawn 2 with 5 points. So Mark Hughes did add a better record than Nathan Jones has had. But when,
doesn't surprise me.
But when Hughes took over, we were in a similar story, right? Because Pellegrino had driven us into trouble. He'd won 1 game out of 17. And Hughes only had from March to change things around. Jones has got considerably more time than Hughes did. So we do appear to be better off. But we weren't bottom of the league then.
No.
And we have to discuss the possibility of relegation because it is a massive possibility now. And if the worst was to happen, do we have that, you know, any Premier League quality players that you believe would stay on? Because you'd expect Prowsey to go, right? Because he deserves to be playing in the Premier League. And you've got to look at Kyle Walker-Peters to go, Salisu, Che, Livramento. He deserves better than the Championship, right? And you think the rest of the squad are only Championship quality. And could we keep hold of those youngsters like Lavia, Adozie and Bella Kotchap? I don't know. I just don't know.
For them, you know, they're not on the super huge wages that we'd have to get rid of. So I imagine that for them, the chance to gain promotion, win something, get back into the Premier League, that could be a good opportunity. I think Livramento would stay just because of the injuries that he's had and everything.
Don't forget Chelsea had that buyback clause.
Yeah, I don't see them activating that anytime soon. But yeah, all the other players you mentioned would probably end up going as well. And yeah, with that squad, is it good enough to get back in the league? I mean, maybe with the right manager.
Well, Nathan Jones is the right manager on that level. Or is he?
Is he though?
I don't know. Well, that goes though. What's the ambition for the club, Kevin? Because you sense that they're just happy around that 16th, 17th mark and just making money. There's no real desire to push for anything else. There's no big signings, no big manager names. And it is almost like Sport Republic have made this appointment with an eye on the championship, because it is a championship squad at the moment, and he's a championship manager.
And that would make sense.
They seem more interested in building the Sport Republic empire rather than focus their efforts on the one club. And this was my concern to you a month ago when they purchased that Turkish outfit. I can't remember who they are. Apologies. But
That's and it. Apparently Rasmus has been spending a lot of time out in Turkey.
That's the next thing, isn't it, for them to just build an empire and to hell with Saints. And that's not what I'm happy with. I want an owner that comes in and wants success, not to make money like a Mike Ashley would want to do, not to build an empire like Sport Republic seemingly want to do. We want someone that has a connection with the fans and actually wants what we want. And I don't know whether that exists in the modern Premier League.
Yeah, it's strange, really, because you think you're building an empire, you build it around your biggest asset, which is Southampton. You can't, you know, go to other smaller clubs and say, look, you know, when you want to buy your club, we've got a model for your club. We want to do what we've done to Southampton and send them tanking their way down to the Championship.
Yes.
You
know,
I mean, when City go around and set up all their franchises around the world, you know, they can, you know, they've won the Premier League multiple times and have done reasonably well in Europe. but yeah, you know, there's something to look at there. So, you know, some promise. But yeah, it seems strange to build an empire around a sinking ship.
Yeah. Some injury news then, Kev. We have to talk about Armel Belakotchap. It's not serious. He just tweaked his knee in that Forest game. Shouldn't be too long, like a week or two, which is fine. There's no real concern there. Stuart Armstrong as well. I was concerned about him, Kev, because he doesn't appear to be Jones's favourite, does he? And he hasn't started under Jones. And I was starting to worry, but, you know, he's revealed that he has been playing through a bit of pain. I'm glad that's the case, because, you know, hopefully when he's fully fit, he'll have more of a regular role under Jones.
Yeah. With any luck, this has been going on for almost a full season now, hasn't it?
But, I mean, yeah.
In the middle of last season.
Yeah. It'd be great to get him back to full fitness anyway. The Loneys. Caleb Watts, he scored twice in Morecambe's 5-0 win over Burton on New Year's Day. Dan and Lindelöf's Cheltenham, he scored in their 1-0 win over Shrewsbury Town on the 29th of December. Nathan Teller continues to have a great season. He scored in Burnley's 3-0 win over QPR on the 11th of December, and then again on the 27th of December in their 3-0 win over Birmingham. That's 8 goals and 2 assists on the season for Teller. So, yeah, stellar season for him. Dinyl Simiyu, his spell at Tranmere has come to an end, and he's moved up a league with Morecambe. So he's linking up with Caleb Watts. Oh, yeah, 15 games for Tranmere, 1 goal, 2 yellow cards, and 1 red.
Yes.
And that is it for the loanees. Kevin, I believe we have to award the player and goal of the month for December.
Yes, player and goal of the month. I'd almost forgotten that we'd done it. We gave you the choice of the 4 goals that Saints scored in December. Adams, of course, scored 2 against Lincoln. Parasi had 1 against Brighton and 1 against Fulham. I think the only one that was any good was the one against Fulham, which got 91% of the vote.
Yeah, that's an obvious one, wasn't it? He wants a rebounded penalty for a goal of the month. But yeah, so glad we got that for the month.
Okay, and yes, our candidates for player of the month for December. Of course, we haven't really talked about our men of the matches for the December matches, really, have we?
No.
So the ones that stood out we discussed before were Prowse, Chadams and Sam Adozi. But just for tradition's sake, we felt that we had to have 4. And I thought we could put in a little protest vote of Shane Long.
Please tell me Shane Long didn't win player of the month.
Because we joked about it doing it before, and I did put him in. And the winner with 42% of the vote was Shane Long.
It was not.
It was.
It was Shane Long. Oh, my God.
Edged Pharisee.
How are we supposed to put player of the month Shane Long? Oh, God. Somehow, I don't think people are going to quite get what we're trying to do, but never mind. Well done, Shane Long. You've been immense. Well, incidentally, James.
We won't do that again.
Incidentally, James Ward-Prowse has been shortlisted for Premier League Goal of the Month also. So, but our award is much more prestigious than that, of course. The B team, then, they were back to action on Friday the 6th, which was this Friday gone. A 3-0 home win over Derby. Goals from Cammy Doyle, Jimmy Morgan, and, of course, Dom Ballard. Up to second in the league now, which is great. And next, they play Newcastle on Friday the 13th of January at 7 p.m, and that is at the Snooze. So, and the women play next week, next Sunday, the 15th of January, 2 p.m. at St. Mary's, and that is against Lewis. Under-18s as well, they return to their action on Saturday the 14th against Leicester. That's 11 a.m. and that's at Staplewood. So all three games, B-team, women and the under-18s, are all at home. So, yeah, that's all next weekend as well, Friday, Saturday and Sunday for you. Right, OK, Kevin, we are going to have to go through these games. We'll go through them quickly because, wow, I mean, who wants to relive most of this, right? So the first one, 20th of December, Lincoln, a 2-1 win in the Carabao Cup. We went down inside 2 minutes to an own goal from Bazunu. Once again, not able to deal with a cross. Che Adams spared our blushes with a double and gave us the reward of Man City in the quarterfinals. Kevin, you were in Southampton for the game and you went to the match. A scrappy one, but fearing the worst after going down inside 120 seconds.
Wasn't impressed at all. I was quite confused by what happened. It was from a corner, wasn't it? Really dodgy, scrappy goal. I think went down as a Bazunu own goal, wasn't it?
It was.
But yeah, I mean, the crowd, there was calls for an offside and the foul on Bazunu. But I mean, we were dreadful for most of that first half. And to be honest, probably deserved to be a goal down.
Yeah, the winner came in the 74th minute too, so it took a while for the winning goal to come. And not exactly an inspiring performance, but progression into the quarters anyway, and a date with Man City. I didn't see this game, and I only had, you know, gone on reports, but, you know, I was looking at the stats and 69% possession, 16 shots, only 6 of which on target. I mean, was it as frustrating as the stats appear to be, or was it another one of those, you know, Nottingham Forest games where they just couldn't do enough with it?
No, it was frustrating. I got the feeling that Che was really pulling that team on his own. And it only sort of came to life when he made that triple substitution and the formation changed and started pressing a bit more. But yeah, I think once that goal, I mean, the goal went in, the first Che goal in the first half, I think as long as we go into halftime not losing, we'll probably be fine. But yeah, it did take quite a while for the goal to come, and I was worried that it might go to penalties, you know, and because I think all the trains were off that night as well, I wasn't entirely sure how I was going to get back home.
Oh God!
But yeah, luckily Che did the business, and yeah, that was that.
Yep, and a quarterfinal spot, so nice. Then Boxing Day happened, it came. 3-1 loss to Brighton, awful, awful game, and too much turkey on Christmas, I imagine, and wow, we certainly got the stuffing. yeah, as bad as it gets, really. I mean, I'd go as far as to say that this was the worst performance of the season. Just dreadful. And 3 goals down as well, with goals from Lallana, another own goal. This time it was Perrault, wasn't it? And then Solly March with a beauty before James Ward-Prowse gets a consolation from the rebounded missed penalty. I was absent from this game because I was in bed ill you know, I couldn't make it. But if I wasn't ill beforehand, I would have been afterwards anyway. But once again, Kevin, you attended and, oh, Jesus, a real bad game for you. And I actually spoke to you on the day after this. No, the day before. And you weren't feeling too good about the game. And you said that Brighton were going to win. And I think you predicted that as well. And, yeah, just a real bad time for you, Kev. Maybe Jones isn't the problem after all, and it's you.
It's me. Well, I mean, they've played a few times without me in attendance and have done arguably just as badly. But, I mean, I had to put my hands up and clap quite softly when March scored that
was it the third goal, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was an absolute banger, yeah. Mm. And that, I think I'd just please show us some mercy and leave it at that. They pretty much did.
Yeah. Anything stand out for you, though? I mean, because Samuel Dozy got his first start and he looked to be our best attacking threat, really, didn't he?
He was very positive, yeah. I was, from where I was sat, I was sat in the same stand as you, you're normally in, but a lot higher up. So I had a decent view of that new Japanese winger that they've got. I've forgotten his name.
Matomo, is it?
Something like that. But, I mean, he just had so much space. You know, whenever that the ball got into that section of the pitch on their left-hand side, Walker Deakins was just having his pants pulled down constantly.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game for Walker Peters, was it?
No, man. It's Walker Peters and Gineppo on that side, and they just completely ruled it.
Shall we? New Year's Eve, Fulham, 2-1 loss again, ending the year with another defeat. Not the best way to go. Despite the Boxing Day defeat and performance, I still went into the Fulham game quite optimistic. I don't know why. The performance was much better, but it's still a mile off where we need to be to survive this. And that was, incidentally, was a third own goal in a row. And this one was from Prowse, not his fault. He scored a wonderful equaliser, though, as we mentioned, the goal of the month. Trademark free kick to give us, a point. I thought that point was there. But, of course, you know, 88th minute, Paulina, heartbreak. And just, I don't know, I'm convinced that if we would have got the point against Fulham, then I think we would have gone into Forest and we would have beat them. It's just, I think that just kicked us, and it just shows where we are at the moment and bottom of the league. You know, getting a point against Fulham is great because Fulham have been doing so, so well. And going into that Forest game after that little bit of a boost would have been fantastic, I think. But no, heartbreak, heads down, and just an awful end to the year.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, we were just kind of trying to grind out a result, weren't we? It really was. I was, you know, as excited about a point as you can get, because I did predict a 1-1, and then that corner when Paulinho scored the final post, I just think, wow, okay.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Conceding goals from corners? That's not like us.
Yeah, yeah. All of those, you know, set piece coaches that we've had
doing their job well. But yeah, that Fulham game though, it was a better performance, wasn't it? And it was a mile off from where we needed to be. I kind of liken that Fulham performance to the second half performance against Palace yesterday. Much better, but still just not where we want to be, and we're not where we deserve to be, and not what the fans want to see. But again, there are signs of improvement, but just not enough.
And we haven't yet thrown away any points from a winning position. So no, that's a positive, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. I'm here for the positives, but there's not many of them to go through. And
I mean, we haven't been in a winning position.
No. And then Forest, Wednesday night, an embarrassing one, I guess. It's another defeat. And if the Brighton game performance was the worst, then this was the most frustrating, because we all still felt that we could win this game. And I still felt we were going to win this game. And, you know, against fellow relegation candidates, Forest, they're winless away from home, only scored one goal away from home, and then, you know, enter Southampton and we changed their fortunes and pushed them up to 15th, I think, at that time.
Yeah, and they were pretty dreadful, to be honest, the Forest side. But we were just so much more abjectly bad.
It was just, for me, the frustrating point for me was the fact that we couldn't do anything with the ball.
No, we didn't even get a shot on target, did we?
No, and Forest themselves only had one shot on target. So there was only one shot on target the whole game, and that was the goal.
They scored.
So, yeah, and
one year.
Yeah, it was a mistake. It was a Lianco mistake, and they never looked like threatening at all. And I guess, you know, just shocking with the ball. And I struggled to really figure out what went so wrong and where it went so wrong. And it's just, we couldn't offer anything. And then you look at the stats, like 62% possession, no shots on target. That is just tragic and nothing created.
And it started off fairly brightly for both of them. Adams had that chance that he just blasted wide.
Trademark Adams,
as,
yeah.
As he's prone to do, yeah. And Johnson hit the bar quite early on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a bit of a, whoa, wake up, guys, wake up.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, thought it was going to be a tasty encounter, but nothing really happened after that.
No, apart from the mistake from Lianco. And when things are that tight and, you know, cagey down there, you don't want to make a mistake. One error is going to be costly, and that's what did it. I mean, there's another stat here. There's another one that made me really like, what the fucking hell are we doing with this? 365 passes to their 180, and most of those were sideways or back. 365 passes, and you couldn't even muster a shot on target. What are you doing? What are you... Seriously, that is... Even if you realise, like, in the 80th minute that you haven't had a shot on target, let Bazunu have a shot. Let somebody have a shot. Do something. Just stop going backwards all the time and sideways. And it's just...
This is why the fans are so frustrated. I mean, it just, you know, it doesn't take much for the crowd to get annoyed. But, yeah, all the sideways and back passing, which is, it's just unnecessary. And, you know, all the build-up play. And then you get the ball into the box and there's no fucker there in the penalty box.
No. No. And like I mentioned...
At
the start, like with Adozie, you know, and when he came on, it was like, okay, we've got someone that's electric and he wants to do what he wants to run with the ball. But when you get three men on him straight away and there's no movement and there's no one helping him out, it's like, what are you supposed to do? I keep trying to think of it. This is just a bad spell. It's just a bad spell. It's only going to be, you know, a matter of time before something clicks. But I don't know. Is that just me being so completely cynical that waiting for a bit for the good times to happen that might not necessarily come?
I don't think they are coming, mate.
No, I don't think they are either. I don't
unless we're just, again, an amazing cup side. Yeah, maybe we could be the first team to win two cups and get relegated.
I remember Middlesbrough did it, didn't they? They got to two cup finals and got relegated. Well. They didn't get to the, both of them, but Middlesbrough did it in 1998, didn't they? Got to the League Cup, FA Cup final, and got relegated. But they lost both cups. But still, they got there. This could be our year. Does that mean we're going to win the FA Cup?
Oh. I'll take that.
No. I think we've got to stay in this league. We got to. But the cup form, as I said, Crystal Palace yesterday, 2-1, unexpected win because isn't it typical? Yeah. It's like all through this bad spell, I predicted Saints to win all of them. And then the one game that I predict them to lose, they go and bloody win it. win from behind too, as well. And much better performance than on Wednesday night. And, you know, we had some good spells. Lianco was better because, I mean, he had Zaha to deal with as well. And he was more of a threat than anything that Forrest had.
Yeah, well, I can't really praise Lianco in the build-up to their goal.
No.
Was
of course.
Useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Considering how much of a unit he is.
Yeah, and you know, 14 minutes when Odson Edouard got the goal, and there's that sinking feeling yet again. But our goals, Kevin, two very bizarre ones, wasn't it? Prowse's free kick that just, it wasn't meant, was it? Just unchallenged, just whipped it into the box, and it just went straight through Guaita. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, is it Ward, isn't it, that flaps the header?
And yeah, we always like to see Ward do that.
Bounces in.
the winner, it came from a mistake from Guaita, didn't it? And it charged down by Adam Armstrong, who slotted it away. I'm really, really pleased for Adam Armstrong because, you know, he gets the reward for all his hard work. And he does that a lot, doesn't he? And he doesn't really get anything for it. But yesterday he did. So I was so, so pleased. And, yeah, four shots on target. As I said, much better. But, Kevin, yeah, what stood out for you in yesterday's victory?
I think, yeah, it has to be the Adam Armstrong winner. It's just such a feel-good goal. And that pressure that, you know, we've seen in previous seasons that Saints have kept up on the keepers and defenders when we're off the ball. And just the way he poaches it. I mean, Gaeta, he's kind of arrogantly just fucking around with the ball.
I'm here for it.
And, yeah. Yeah, Strong punishes him from.
Yeah.
You'd think it would be quite typical for him to put it wide in front of, rather than into an open net.
Yeah, Mara had a chance at the end, didn't it? I thought, oh my God, it's going to finally come. He's going to finally get. Oh.
Yeah.
No, this is the Mara that we know. But yeah, if you could pick one person to get the winner, everybody would have picked Adam Armstrong, surely, because what a lovely moment for him. And I do love the guy, and I've said it so many times, I hope he succeeds here. I really do. I really want him to go on and just score every week. That would be lovely. But great win.
Maybe that's the kind of hand crank that the engine needs, and he's going to start roaring onto a goal scoring run.
Yes. It got to take the win, obviously, which is good. It was unexpected, but I'd easily swap that Palace victory for the Forest one, though. I'd go out of the cup for 3 points, definitely.
Because that would that not have taken us out of the relegation?
Yeah, because it's so tight down
that
there,
close,
isn't it?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just feel like that we need to be concentrating on the league. Well, of course we do. League survival is paramount, and the FA Cup's going to be a distraction now. And incidentally, FA Cup fourth round draw is happening Sunday before the Chelsea and City game, and we are ball number 26. Kevin, who do you want in round four? Because I hear Boreham Wood are still in it.
I'll take any weaker opposition.
So that doesn't leave many then.
Boreham Wood sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Boreham Wood. That'd be lovely. And incidentally, yeah, the fourth round will be taking place on Friday the 27th to Monday the 30th. So somewhere in and around there. Kev. So that's our dismal festive period over and done with now. Now we can concentrate on the pressing matters of survival. A trip to Goodison Park, which we don't do very well at, as we know. But before that, we have Man City in the Carabao Cup. Now, are you at all interested in this?
Yeah. Imagine beating City.
I can't even imagine it. It's
a whole load of good, wouldn't it?
Oh God, yeah, it would be great. Yeah, that's Wednesday the 11th, by the way. It's 8 p.m. kickoff, and it's St Mary's, and it's on Sky Sport. Honestly, can't see it, Kev. I can't see anything more than a heavy defeat, and I just think he's going to be tinkering with the side a lot. A lot of players that are not getting time will probably be in there, because he's got to be thinking about Saturday, hasn't he? And Everton at Goodison more so than this.
Yeah, I think they can take it 4-1
again. I don't know where the goal was coming from.
We never do, but there always seems to be one, doesn't there?
No. Nottingham Forest, ring any bells?
Yeah, okay, that was just horrific. But I don't know. Yeah, looking back at our other results, we haven't given a team a clean sheet since Palace away. Yeah, we've scored in every match as far as I can remember.
But this is Man City. I'm going to say it's a comfortable. I don't know. I'm torn between 3-0 or 4-0. I'm going to go 3. I'm going to go 3-0 to City. And I think Tim has also gone 3-0 to City. Yeah. Yes, he has. So, yeah, 4-1 to City, 3-0 to City, and 3-0 to City. And then after that, Kev, we go to Goodison Park, Saturday the 14th, 3 p.m. kickoff. This is a big one as well, because last five from Everton have been shocking. Almost as bad as ours, isn't it? I mean, they've lost 4-1 to Brighton. They drew 1-1 with City, though, which was lovely. And then they lost 2-1 to Wolves, 3-0 to Bournemouth. Who loses 3-0 to Bournemouth? And then 2-0 at home to Leicester. So absolutely shocking of late from Everton. Yes, and of course they're out of the cup as well, losing 3-1 to Man United on Friday night. But then their record's crap. Our record's been crap, as we all know. But we've got that dismal record at Goodison, haven't we? We haven't won since November 1997. That was a 2-0 win, Letizia and Kevin Davies on the score sheet. That just goes to show how long ago it was, Kevin. I mean, what were we doing in November 97? We were still in school, weren't we? It was the first year of secondary school, I believe. Yeah.
Started big school, yeah.
Yeah. The biggest win we've ever had there was a 3-0 win in April 1974. Peter Osgood and Mick Shannon on the score sheet. So, again, long, long time ago. Are we going to beat them this time? Is it finally going to come to an end and we're going to stick one straight up Frank Lampard?
Yeah, I'd absolutely love it. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe we can finally scrape a point.
Is it going to be like another Forest that, you know, both teams struggling at the bottom of the table? No one's going to want to make a mistake, and inevitably we do. Or is someone going to grab it and actually go for the victory? I just don't know. Tim is actually first on the predictions, and he's going for a 1-0 to Everton. I've gone back and forth with this one as well, because I did say that we were going to beat them before we played Forest. I thought, yeah, we'll beat Forest and we'll beat Everton, and we'll be, you know, out of trouble for a bit. You know, those 6 points would be crucial, especially where it's so tight down there. But since the Forest game, I'm kind of like, then I thought, no, Everton are going to beat us, aren't they? And then yesterday happened, and I thought, no, we can do it. We can score goals away from home. But I don't know. I can't see us winning. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. And Kevin, what about you? What are you?
Yeah, also a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. A point is we're going to need it, aren't we? Okay, then.
We need more points.
Well, of course, yeah, but every point.
It's going to change nothing.
No, not for either of us at the moment. But yeah, Discord, Predictions League in the Discord. Thanks, by the way, for correcting me, because for some reason I had Colts down wrong. And Colt got the score spot on last time. So he tops the table on 32 points, followed by Dan Fox on 31. Where are you, Kevin? You're in fourth on 28 points. So you're right there. And there's a whole heap of players around that 24, 22 mark. Where I am. Tim, you need to pick it up a bit, mate, because you're third from bottom. You're in the relegation zone here. You're doing a Saints. Super Six. Now, there's been a lot of Super Six to go through, so I'm gonna read out the recents. Okay, so round 23 was won by Stuart White and Paul Carpenter with 14 points. Round 24 was Terry Lubbock with 14 points. Round 25 was Gavin Burgess with 12. Round 26, again, Gavin Burgess with 16. Round 27 was Dan Buck, Steve Martin, wow, and Steve Franklin on 11 points. Round 28 was Jeff Stelling on 10. Round 29, Gavin Burgess on 9. Overall, though, Stuart White has the lead on 263, so yes. Kevin, fantasy football, I have not done a thing since the last time we recorded. Not even looked at it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Fantasy football. Yes, my team's on 58 at the moment. So I am actually creeping up the Podders League. I'm somehow in second, 5 points behind Oliver Bost. Tim looks like he's got the best results so far this week. 70 points. How has he managed that? Captain's Kane. No, he's Captain Mitrovic as well, but he's got Kane in. We've got a new top three here in the big league.
Is it me?
No. Okay. Lucy Hynette's dropped to fifth.
Ooh.
So yeah, fourth place, Gran Canaria, St. Paul, Gillian. Gillian. Probably Gillian. Yeah. Chris Ambridge's Ambrosinho is in third with 1,153 points. 2 points more has Johnny Phillips, better in than out. So I should talk like Yoda for some reason. Because probably because the team top of the table is Obi-Wan Kenobi nil from Arlen Ailing Allen on 1,159. It's all very tight.
Yeah, well done. Well done, everyone.
24.
I'll pay more attention to it now the football's back up, and yeah.
Oh yes.
It's all kicking off again. It's fine. Right, Kev, I've got a where am I for you. I wasn't going to do one because I couldn't be bothered, but I have got one. I did do it in the end. Are you eager?
Yes.
Okay. Clue one for 5 points. This stadium is located 204 miles from St. Mary's. Remember, first guess you can have a the first clue, you can have a guess for free.
Okay, Notts County.
Ooh, no. clue two for 4 points. Approximately 165 miles east of St. Andrews in Birmingham.
East of St. Andrews. That's of quite a big clue, isn't it? It's going to be in East Anglia. Well, there's not many teams in East Anglia, are there? Could probably make a decent guess, I reckon.
And you're going to have a guess on clue two for 4 points.
Yeah, go on. Why not? Live fast, are you?
Okay, go on then.
Are you at Carrow Road?
It was either going to be Carrow Road or Portman Road, wasn't it? But yeah, you're right. It is Carrow Road in Norwich City. Well done. The next clue was sitting on the banks of the River Wensum. And clue four, currently competing in the Championship after being relegated from the Premier League last season. Clue five, in the county of Norfolk, have a rivalry with Ipswich in the neighbouring county of Suffolk with a capacity of over 27,000. I am at Carrow Road. Spot on, Kevin. 4 points. That leaves you on 26. Impressive. Most impressive.
You went some. I'll give it you.
I like it. I like what you did. Next week we'll be diving headlong into that Man City quarterfinal and, of course, the trip to Goodison Park, and we'll preview the visit of Aston Villa. Hopefully Danny Ings won't be back to haunt us. He hasn't actually played at St Mary's since, has he? Because when Villa came over last season, he was injured, and that was the game that Tim was over for when Adam Armstrong scored in the
Adam
first
Armstrong,
game. Yeah. That's right. So hopefully he'll be taking his usual position on the bench. So all that to look forward to next week. We really, really need the Saints to start picking up some points. Another cup win would be good, but let's win against Everton first, shall we? So until then, up the Saints, please.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.